Okay, the next part of the mission, we're going through all the various prohibitions. Vamashtis pasik, no, the person destroys the corner of his beard. So again, just a quick brisa, a lot of just quickies here. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa paas zekano. What is the corner of his beard? Sof zekano, it's the extremity of his beard. Vezo sof zekano, what is the extremity of his beard? Shibolas zikno, the pointed end of his beard. And that's the 5 points that I already showed you the picture of, so we don't have to go through that. But that's what all that commentary is telling us too about that. Okay, next point. Now we're going to get back to some normal Gemara, so to speak. The fourth and final case is Vamisaret Srita Achas. A person makes a single cut into his body over a dead person. So now the question is, how many times can you transgress this Avera? Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught the following. The Pasuk says, here's the whole Pasuk there. Viseret lo nefesh lo sitnu bivsarchem. And a cut for a departed soul you shall not put into your flesh. That's about the Kohanim over there. So you shall not put in. Visarat. So when it says viseret, Yochel, I might think, afilu seret al beso shenafal. What if you give yourself a cut in your body because you're so upset that your house collapsed? And for some people, that might bother them more than if their relative dies, depending on who they are. Unfortunately, I know a lot of cases like that. Not in my family, but I know a lot of people. So a guy like Obama, imagine all your stock, Black Friday, you lost, your stocks went down 90%. From being a person who had $10 million, you're now down to $1
million. Wow.
So you'd be upset. You'd gas yourself. Or your luxury liner that got destroyed in a hurricane. I might think if you gas yourself for that, you'll get lashed also. No.
What?
We read? I don't know what you're asking me. We already talked about that, right? So Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Linefesh, over a departed soul, Einachayev Ela Ameis Belvad. You only are lashed if you gash yourself intentionally to show grief over someone who dies. That's the only thing. Torah is trying to tell you what's important and what's not important. Now remember, this is only the biblical prohibition. The Torah's prohibition says if you gash yourself because somebody dies. There's a machlokas, however, whether the rabbis instituted on other things as well. So that's a whole machlokas. But in the Torah, they only said if it's over a person who dies.
But I thought it was a halacha anyway. You're not supposed to hurt yourself.
I know, but that
but do intentionally for any reason. Yeah,
is that the right
side? Well, that's not a negative. It's a positive. It's a positive commandment to stay healthy. Stay healthy. It's a mitzvah to keep your health. So obviously, you're not keeping your health. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah, but you don't get lashed for that. But certainly, you shouldn't do it. But to get lashed for it, and there's a few other prohibitions in the next mishnah we're going to see. Okay, that's one part of the brisa. Now we're going to come to another case. Uminayin, how do we know lemasare chamesh sritos? What if you give yourself 5 cuts over one person who dies? You have one, and then a second one. So how do you know in that case, you're liable for each and every one of them? Talmud Lomer, viseret, and a cut. So what's the lesson for there? L'chayev al kol srita v'srita, to make him liable for each and every cut. Why? This is what we see. It should have said, the Torah could have stated the prohibition succinctly by making the verb lo nefesh lo sisritu. Normal Hebrew, you say, over a departed soul, lo sisritu. You shall not cut. Why does it say viseret lo sitnu? Now look what the wording is. A cut you shall not put. You understand? The cleanest way to say it is lo sisritu. Don't cut. Why does it say viseret? A cut Lo sitnu, you shall not put on your body.
Singular.
See the extra word there? Lo sitnu. You could have just used one. There's an extra word there. If it just would have said lo sisritu, don't cut yourself. Why does it say viseret? A cut you shall not put. Or the extra vav, viseret, and a seret. It just should have said seret. So therefore, that extra wording tells you for each and every one that you do. Okay? And that, what it means over here, is let's say you were warned. The guy says, oh, I can't stand it. I can't live anymore. I'm going to cut myself. He says, don't do it. And he goes, one, two, three, each and every cut, you get lashed for that. Okay. That is, okay, so that's five lashes for one person. How about a different scenario? Rabbi Yossi Omer, minayin lemesaret srita achas al hei mesim. What if you find out five people die? And now you're giving yourself one cut over the five people. How do we know? Shuchayv kol achas v'achas. You're chayv for each and every dead person for whom you cut yourself.
Oh, you only cut yourself okay. once for all five?
Five
times.
So he agrees to the Tanakama, you're chayv for each cut, but what if it's one cut for five people? Five people die.
Still five sets of lashes.
So and you're cutting yourself because of the five people.
Right.
One cut for all five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be only one set of lashes.
So Talmud, no, he's saying you're chayv for each one. Talmud Lomar le nefesh. It says le nefesh. We're gonna. Gemara's gonna ask a question in a minute. The Torah says for a soul, and he understands it to be lechayiv al kol nefesh v'nefesh. To be chayiv on each and every soul you cut for.
Whoa.
For each le nefesh.
But this is an intent, right? It's not like an action. The action is one action.
But he's doing it obviously. We know he's doing it for the five people. The guy says, "Oh, it was my brother and my sister and my father and my mother and my son." Okay, so that on all five, and each one is part of that. So you see that from the word I'll call nefesh. The Gemara says, wait a minute, we already learned that word nefesh for another drusha. You can't make two drushas on one word. Didn't we say the word lenefesh for a soul was to exclude when the boat sinks and the house goes down? So the word lenefesh is being used for something else already, and you can't ignore that teaching because that's the simple meaning of the verse. So where are you getting this for each and every soul? So we're going up to the top of Chafalef Amid Aleph. So we're gonna let's just get it a little clearer. Okay, more answers. Kasava Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi holds Srita Ugedida Achasi. As we're gonna see, the word Srita and the word Gedida, which we haven't told you about yet, which we're gonna tell you in a minute, that is considered one and the same. When the Torah says you shouldn't make a srita cut and a gedida cut, they're one and the same. So even though the Torah is using different words, but both sukkah are referring to the same prohibition of cutting with grief. So let's take a look at all these comments over here.
What is a gedida?
Hold on. So let's take a look. We have the pasuk we've already dealt with. This is the one we've been dealing with all the time. Viseret lenefesh lo sitnu yisarchem. That's the pasuk we're dealing with. Okay, that's the pasuk we have. That's one. Now, the next one, it's only part here, it doesn't bring you back. But now we have another prohibition. Torah repeats it in Dvarim. Bani matem l'Hashem elokeichem lo sisgodidu. You shall not cut. And don't put a bald spot in your head for a dead person. Ah, you got two psukim teaching you the same thing, no? So now, the question you might think, well, maybe lo tiskodidu means something else. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, no, it's the same thing. Lo tiskodidu is also means to cut over a dead person. So now you have two times the Torah says that. I don't know why it keeps doing this. One more time. Okay, that's the second time. Okay, so now... we'll just hold on to that. So since it says it twice, so Srita and Gedida is one thing. Uksiv Hasam. And it says over there in Sefer Dvarim, Lemes. And it says over there as well, over a dead person. So now we've got two psukim. Since we have the phrase for a dead person in Dvarim to teach that liabilities occurred only if the cut is made over the deceased, the phrase for a departed soul in Vayikra is free, and it's an extra to teach you that. In other words, you already know that the Torah tells you twice. Why is it telling you twice? So one is telling you the only chayv you do it over a dead person. What's the other one telling you? That you're chayv for each and every person you do it for. So that's how you have two drushes for that. Okay, next point. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says another ruling. Hamisarek bekli chayv. You inflict a cut, a srita cut, with an instrument. Your chayv, what he means to say is your chayv two prohibitions. Why? He says it's clear the word gedida of los yiskod, which chiefly connotes cutting with an instrument. Okay. If you know Hebrew, gedida means to do it with an instrument. While the word srita usually means cutting with one's hand.
Fingernail?
Oh, you can.
If you got a good fingernail, you could could do great damage. That's how a Kohen, Zelo Shech the bird with a fingernail.
Yeah.
That's how they did birds, like that. They had a long fingernail. Like that. Anyway, so thus by saying the case of one who inflicts a srita cut with an instrument, Shmuel is teaching that the term srita can also apply to an instrument-inflicted wound. Accordingly, one who cuts himself with an instrument violates two biblical prohibitions, one against inflicting a srita cut and one against a gedida cut. So if he cuts himself by hand, he violates two prohibitions, for srita and gedida are the same forbidden act, since both are performed either by hand or with an instrument. So you have to understand why the Torah will give you two prohibitions on that, but you see that by bugs, you can get five prohibitions as well. So if you're using a utensil, that is included in both. So now you're going to be chayv for srita and gedida. So you get two lashes if you do it with an instrument. And similarly by hand, goes back and forth. Each one, the simple meaning of one is an instrument, simple by hand, but it's the same thing. So now the Gemara asks a question on that. How could you say that? Meisave, we learned in a Braisa, Srita Ugedida Achasi, although Srita and Gedida are one and the same, that they involve cutting a person's flesh over a person who dies. Elish is srita b'yad, ugdida b'kli, but srita's with a hand and gedida's with a kli, so it seems to say it's two separate things and not the same thing. Okay, so here it is. See, what does it mean by hand? There it says it, to be inflicted with the nails. Thus, one pounds his head in grief over the dead of a loved one until he bleeds, he doesn't violate. In other words, it's cutting this. You know, if somebody, if you punch somebody good, you can make him bleed, right?
Yeah.
You can even damage him, right? So, no, it has to be with the fingernail. Anyway.
Even if he bangs his head on the wall, it's okay.
Fine. So, yeah. Shmuel holds that both srita and gedida are performed either by hand or with an instrument. The Braisa rules, however, that a srita cut is inflicted only by hand, and a gedida cut only with an instrument. So, they're separate, and they're not considered the same. So, guess what? He says, I have a different Tana who holds like me. Hudamak Rabbi Yossi, he said, I don't like a different Tana Rabbi Yossi. That's all. And Rabbi Yossi says not like that, who disagrees with them, and he holds his two separate it's one and the same. Fine. Next. Tani Tana Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. A Tana who is teaching Bryce is taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Al Meis, when the Pusik says, you cut yourself over a dead person. Bein biyad, bein bakli, chayev. Whether you do it by hand or by instrument, in other words, the Torah prohibition prohibits both srita and gedida, as we discussed. Hence, this ruling accords even with the Tana who holds that srita is performed only by hand and gedida only with an instrument. It certainly holds according to Rabbi Yossi and says that both you transgress both on one. Fine. Then, what if he cuts himself avodas kochavim? Okay, if the worship was done in a way to cut yourself. They have all kinds of crazy ways of worship now. You throw your baby and kill your baby too. So if you can kill your baby infanticide, you can certainly inflict pain. So the question is, so what if you do that? Biyad, if you do it by hand, chayav, for the sin of idol worship. Yeah. Okay, we're moving on to idol worship, not for this sin of hurting yourself over somebody dying. If a person bows, slaughters, a sacrifice, burns an offering, and pours libation, I remember those are the four principal avodas, he's liable for death penalty whether or not that particular idol is normally worshipped in that manner. That we learned in Sanhedrin. If he performs some other genuine act of worship to an idol, he's liable to death penalty. Only that particular idol is customary done in that way. If one serves an idol in a way that cannot at all be classified as an act of worship, he's exempt. Okay? What if you stand on your head? You know, that we can call idol worship. Right? Thus, in the present case, if this particular idol is customary worship by cutting oneself by hand, the worshiper is liable to the death penalty. If it is not normal worship that way, he's liable only to lashes, as the commentaries say. So he's saying that if you worship idols in a way that it's meant to be worshipped, you'll be chayv when you do it by hand. But bekli potter, you do it with a utensil, you're exempt, because that's not a form of idol worship at all. For some reason, I'm not an expert in idol worship. Seems by hand it is a form of idol worship, utensil not. The Gemara asks, v'yip chaksiv, but it seems to be written the opposite. If you recall, when Eliyahu HaNavi had the final confrontation with the false prophets in Har Carmel, what do we see they did? It says, "Vayisgodu kamishvat uberamachim." They cut themselves with sword and spears according to their custom. So it seems that with utensils, that is what they do. So therefore, he says, "Guess what? I guess I made a mistake. I have to reverse it." Ela'ema biyad putter, by hand your putter, b'kli chayv, with a utensil chayv. So I had to amend that addition. Okay, fine. Next. The next little section, again, v'chayv al rosh, and your chayv for rounding the corners of the head. Now we're talking about the two payas over here. So again, machvi Rav Sheshes demonstrated it and showed bein pirkei resha, between the joints of the head, the temples, as I've already explained, so we don't have to explain it anymore. Again, v'alazoken shtai mikan v'achzomat, in the beard, two on one side, two here, and here. We said there were three different opinions. Remember, I showed you that picture. So the same thing. Machvi Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes again showed Ben Pirke Dikna, showing the special joints, the points of the beard, as I already showed you the picture. Okay, final. I think it's the final part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omar Im Netolam. If he removed all five corners in one shot, he only gets one lash. So what does that mean? Because he disagrees. Kesavar chad lavahu. He holds it's only a single prohibition, and it's not five. So that he knows a machlokas. By payas, everybody agreed it's two separate ones. Here, for whatever reason, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama held each one of the five as a separate one. He holds they're all one thing, and therefore you're not chayv. Finally, Vein chayv at shetlena betar. You're not chayv unless you remove it with a razor. How do we come to that conclusion? This is very important, as we'll tomorrow, God willing, I'll show you a tshuva from the Star K where they get into discussing shavers and stuff like that. So we got to pay a little more attention to this Gemara. So Gemara wants to know, how did we come to this conclusion that's a razor? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah a razor. So we have to figure out, how do you see from the psukim? Tana Rabbana. So let's take a look, it says. Now let's take a look at the psukim over here. This is in Sefer Yikra with the Kohanim. It says, Upeas Sekanam, the beard, the corners of the beard, Lo Yigalechu. Galechu means to shave. Okay? That's one description. Earlier, when it talks about what applies to all Jews, and remember, we compare the two, Jew, Kohanim, same thing. It says a different word. It says, Lo Sashchis Es Peas Sekanecha. Don't destroy the corner of your beard. Okay? So, I already saw that what applies to one pasuk applies to the other pasuk. We did that 2 days ago. So, it's interesting. There's two verbs now. Yigalechu means to shave. Sashchis means to destroy. So, now we got to figure out what utensil shaves and destroys. That's basically what's going to fit the criteria of shaving and destroying. That's what's going to happen. So, we learn like this. It says in the one pasuk, upas yizakodam lo yigalechu, that the corners of your beard you shall not shave. So shaving again, it's not looking at the English shaving. It's the Hebrew, yigalechu. So yeah, I know when you hear the word shave, you think one way. But this is, no, it's galeach. So yeah, it's the Hebrew understanding. So yachol afilu gilchu b'mesparayim. Maybe if you shave with scissors, if you just scissor it around, that's shaving. Because when you cut your hair, giluach is usually for the hair. So you're cutting your hair. So I figured it says by the beard. So let's say you just snip, 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 snip. I think you're chayiv. No, tamalom lo sashchi. So say you shall not destroy. So that means you're taking the beard. That destroy means you're knocking it completely off to the skin level. When you're cutting with a scissors, there's no way you could hit skin level. It's not destroying. When you get a haircut, you don't bald yourself with scissors. You can't bald yourself with scissors. But when it turns out you can't destroy a razor, totally destroys it, right?
Hair grows back.
Doesn't matter. We're talking about at this moment, right this second, it's been, if you got a good shave this morning, it's destroyed now. Okay, come back. You destroyed.
The beard or the root of the hair?
Well, we're just saying down to the skin. Okay? So now it's, so therefore it can't be a scissors. Okay, now let's reverse it. What if we only had ilos ashkis? If it says you shall not destroy, well, maybe we come up with another. How many ways can you destroy the hair on your face?
How about tweezers?
One by one. Tweezer, you're plucking it out from the root.
That destroys it.
So Yochel, I might think, im loktu b'malkat for a hinichayv. What if you move it? Oh, well, we're talking about other ones right now. With the planes, right? Which cuts it down to the skin. Loktu b'malkat for a dini. Okay. Are things like that. Yechayev? No. Talmud lomer lo yigalechu. It says you don't shave. Now, planing is not shaving. So now, haketzad. So how do I have the balance of giluach, shaving, a haircut, sheyeshra hashkosa, has destruction? What's considered cutting the hair, yet destroying the hair? Havi omer, zetar, that's the razor. That's the instrument normally used for shaving and which removes the hair down to the skin. Planes are therefore held up for they destroy the beard. While they destroy the beard, they're not normally used for shaving. They're not shaving. It's something that's shaving and destroying. Now, you never say, I shaved myself with a carpenter's plane. You just don't say you shave. You can say, I destroyed. You go to the barber, give me the carpenter plane routine. No, it's never, nobody shaves that way. You could destroy your face, but not shaving. Scissors too are excluded because they are normally used for shaving, even though they do not destroy the beard because they're not coming right down to the skin level.
Razors today are
appropriate. So hold on. So with regard to cutting one's beard with scissors in a way that does destroy the beard, that cuts down to the skin, many Rishonim say that nonetheless one is not liable since it does not destroy the hair from the root. That's some opinions. Some authorities rule, however, that even though there is no malchus liability for shaving the beard with a scissors, one nonetheless forbidden to do so if the shave is as close as that obtained with a razor. Others rule that it's always permissible to use scissors to shave. Look in your day is leaning to this matter, but see the Kasha Ramah. Okay, regarding shaving by destroying the beard, but in an irregular manner, like using planes, some permit it. Others hold it's rabbinically prohibited. See, read for discussion of whether the leniency regarding the use of scissors or planes applies also to prohibition against rounding the corners, etc., etc. Okay, so you can see already in the rabbinic teachings, in the halacha, there's all kinds of issues over here, because this Gemara is not absolutely clear. What does destroying actually mean? Or what if it destroys it the same way? So we will leave the contemporary halacha until we do the next couple lines to finish up to the Mishnah. We'll either do it today or tomorrow. We'll see. So that ends that. So it's got to be the transgress. It's got to be something that is normal hair cutting procedure. That also destroys. The Gemara says the only thing that really fits that criteria is a razor. Because a razor is common to cut the hair, and it destroys, it goes all the way down to the face level. Okay? So now you begin to see, well, what if it gets it down to the face level completely? And it's something that, like with the scissors, I see there seems to be a machlokas over there. So obviously, when you're talking about an electric shaver, what is it if not
scissors?
Like it's right, or we'll see. So anyway, so we'll talk about that. So not necessarily every electric shaver. Clearly, you cannot use a razor. That is like without question, use a razor, and it does give you the closest shave. I mean, that's what they're suggesting. But on the other hand, so you have now here it's clear that depilatories is not prohibited because that's not an act of shaving. Just putting creams.
Creams. Okay.
Burning it off. That is for sure allowed because that's not called a shave. That's not called a shave at all. Even if it destroys it, but it's not a shave. There's no cutting that's going on at all.
Shaving and destroying.
It has to be two. It's got to be an act of shaving. Putting a depilatory is not shaving. Okay? But it's very painful if you do that. I mean, ask ladies who do it.
What do we say about plucking? The legs. If you were to pluck a pear out.
Okay, so it would appear that's not shaving. A plane is destroying, you know. But that's excluded. So if you want to use a carpenter's plane, you're free to do that. Okay. So now you got so the plucking will not be very effective and be very painful. Nobody would do it. We're going to pluck each and every one of your 1,000 hairs. You understand how long that would take? Not a smart idea. Okay, so we'll see what electric razors, because at the end of the day, an electric razor is nothing different than a blade.
Is it a blade or a scissors?
It depends. Well, let's say it's a scissors, okay? But on the other hand, they're advertising lift and cut. Ooh. It's lower than even the thing. So then that is, now we've got a scissors that acts like a razor. In the days of the Talmud, all they had was the scissors.
Yeah.
So no matter what you're going to try with the scissors, there's just no way you could get it to the bottom. But now if you've got an electric razor that's lift and cut, although it's not really true, but that's what they say it does. So now they're suggesting that it takes it down to the bottom. So now that would be a genuine problem because it's a scissors that acts like a razor. That becomes the problem. Okay. Well, we'll leave it. That's going to be tomorrow morning's initial discussion. I'll get the sheet out. Maybe I'll copy it out. Everyone can see it. Okay, there's just two more lines to get to the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Afilo lachto b'malka reinichayv." Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Tanakama. He says, even with planes, you're chayiv. He disagrees. So Gemara now asks a question on him. He says, either way, his opinion is a problem. Manashik, either way. If you learn the Gzer Shava from the Kohanim to the Yisrael, you put the two psukim together, liboy tar. You need to have a razor. You know, the way we learned it, it's a razor. Elo gomer, if you learn each pasuk is separately, and though it says by the Kohanim, it doesn't have a Gzer Shava, what it says by the Yisrael, we don't combine the two different psukim together, so then it comes out many more things would be prohibited. Because one says cutting, one says destroying. Oh, so we limited it only something that cuts and destroys. But if you're not going to learn them together, then you're learning them separately, then it's each one on its own is chayiv. So therefore, not only destroying, but even regular cutting. So it come out, misparayim nami lo. You shouldn't be able to use scissors either, because then that's just cutting. You don't need two together. So what's going on? Our answer is Leolam Gomer Gzer Shavar. He does learn the Gzer Shavar. He learns we combine the two together. It's got to be a cutting. That's a shaving. But Kesavar Haninami Geluach Avdi. He is saying that that the planes too, that these planes too affect shaving, and they fulfill both verses. He holds that planes effectively destroy the beard. Using them as a normal act of shaving. In other words, he holds that a plane is a normal shaving instrument. Good for him. The Talmud disagrees with that opinion. He would hold that scissors would be the same shaving, and he learns it, but that is not how we're going to learn it. Okay, we ended at that. The next mission is going to talk about tattoos.
Oh,
the prohibition of real tattoos. That's what multiple cuts. It's tattoos.
Yeah, okay.
Forget about anything. Nobody's dead or anything. You want to tattoo yourself. It's definitely prohibited. Okay, we'll talk about the electric shavers lahalacha tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.